You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins, and you just listened to the Trends Podcast, a collaboration between the Community Foundation of Boulder County and KGNU. I am Rosana Longo, and we just listened to the last Trends series or episode, and this is the LGBTQ episode, and I just want to, you know, acknowledge that I have had the opportunity to interview so many people for this podcast, and I just want to thank everybody that has supported me, because now with social distancing, it's not so easy to produce these kind of pieces. And I also want to recognize the production of Maeve Conran for this episode that has been outstanding. I'm always so honored of her support. I have on the phone today two guests, and I'm so pleased to have them in this show today. And I'm just going to introduce them briefly and allow them to have a conversation around this topic that is so important right now, because we are in June. We are in Pride Month. So I want to introduce Jenna Howerton. She's the Youth Program Coordinator from Out Boulder County. And also I want to have here in the studios via the phone Greg Bacilleri, and he is a young one who's going to share thoughts, ideas, and he's, you know, like I always like to call, a Boulderite that's going to teach us a lot of things, because young people tend to do that. Welcome to the program. Are you there in the other side in the phone?
Yes, I am.
Hello, how are you? Jenna, are you there? I just want to make sure.
Yes, I am here. Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Good morning. So after listening to the podcast, I would really like your reflection. I always say to myself, I am pretty sure I'm missing something. And I want to put out, you know, the question for you both. What is it that I was missing? Or what would you add into a podcast of this topic, of this theme, to make it more present, to bring it more to the present moment? And, you know, you can be, I think Jenna Howerton from the youth program coordinator of Out Boulder County, you can speak first, I think, because, you know, when I interview you, you talk so much about the new survey and what is happening with the groups that you have, the young groups that now are virtual groups.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We have moved all of our youth groups virtually. We did it very quickly once the stay-at-home order was issued. I loved your show. And I think the only piece for me would be hearing from the LGBTQ youth on how they're doing with COVID and everything going on, and the Black Lives Matter movement and it being Pride Month. I think about that often. I mean, when we talked, I have, I've had these conversations with the youth who do come to our groups, but, unfortunately moving virtually, we have had lower attendance, and, I'm just really curious about their experiences and the voices of LGBTQ youth who are not accessing our resources.
So I have to say to you, Jenna, that I had the opportunity to do a Zoom interview with the Jack group, and these young ones allowed me to record their voices, and it is a long piece. It's half an hour of them sharing their thoughts. I had the opportunity to have Gigi. I have the opportunity to have Adrian. I had the opportunity to have Laurel and Anika. And this whole piece, we're going to put it up in the web post along with the podcast and pictures and everything else. I also was extremely inspired with what they said, what they share, that was so difficult for me to just grab the little pieces and quotes that I wanted to have the whole thing in, you know, in its in complete, so that you can hear how they are friends and they support each other. I was really touched and really impressed of their intelligence and the articulation. They spoke beautiful, and I'm gonna, you know, I can tell you that you're not gonna miss that. You're gonna get that.
Yeah, I love that. And YAC is a really wonderful group. Al Boulder County collaborates with them. We actually, some of my interns just collaborated with YAC to put on a virtual Night of Noise celebration via Zoom. Since the one that we do every year had to be canceled. So they are a wonderful group. Every year they produce really wonderful leaders in our community, youth leaders. And so I'm really excited to hear your conversation with them, because I know that they're doing wonderful work.
Yeah, they are incredible activists. And really, they are thinking in a way that really makes me think that they are a new generation, but also they are connected to our global movement and a global consciousness. That is the word that comes to my mind. Why? Because I also have a son who is into environment, and he always talks about this global consciousness, and it was incredible, really. But now I also want to hear from Gray Bachelieri, and also tell me if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, because I really thought that's the way I'm going to pronounce it, is an Italian last name at the end of the day.
That's perfect. Yeah, Bachelieri is just right.
So you, as a young one, tell me, you know, your reflection around not only the podcast, but more deeply about the topic that we have in front of us. There's important things happening right now, you know. And I would like if you can speak about that. And we had a conversation about that while I had the opportunity to interview you, especially about the rights of trans people.
Yeah, totally. I love the podcast. I love to hear such a variety of voices. And I loved how there was people of different ages, people of different, statures in life. And I really liked that. And I think if I were to add anything, it would be a section where there's some discussion around resources for queer youth and specifically for Black queer youth or Black queer folks, and just adding resources in can often kind of wrap up the story a little bit so that people know what to do next and like where to go and how to, you know, how to find what they need or how to give help where they can. So that's all I have with that. But overall, I really enjoyed listening to it and honored to be a part of it.
Gray, I'm so happy that you are saying that, because again, part of the web post that we put up has a section with resources, and in the section with resources, what we're also going to do is add, your video. You put up a video in English and in Spanish talking about sharing your story and talking about being trans and having a Latino family. And we're going to put that up too. And that is the nature of what we need to be doing right now. But I would like to ask you one question. Which ones were the resources that you accessed that helped you immensely here in Boulder County?
Yeah, that's a great question. I went to New Vista High School, which is a pretty alternative, open-minded high school with a lot of emphasis on equity practices and creating space for people of all walks of life, and specifically queer people in my experience. So that being in a school where that was widely accepted was super helpful in a resource kind of way, and using my peers to find information, and Planned Parenthood is somewhere that I went to get some of my first testosterone shots, and I definitely visited out Boulder quite a few times and had friends who volunteered there, and it always felt like there was a slew of resources available to me And I was lucky to have a family who was willing to help me with those resources as well. So I was super lucky to have Boulder and a supportive community. And I've lived in other places besides Boulder and have not found such a wide variety of resources. So I really think that's something that Boulder has to offer that's fairly unique to such a small town kind of place.
You touched something important that I would like Jenna to talk about it, that is the support of the family. How important it is to have the support of your family when we are talking about gender identities and sexual orientations?
Yeah, I think it can be everything. I think it's super important, especially now with quarantine. And youth being sort of forced to be at home with potentially family members, siblings, extended family that may not be affirming of who they are. And having said that, even if they are under a roof that is not affirming and supportive, there are a lot of resources in the community. You know, our youth program hopefully being one that people feel comfortable accessing. There's also OASIS and the group that you were talking about, YAC, which stands for Youth Advocating for Change. So there's a lot of different places to get plugged in. And studies do show that just one supportive adult in a young person's life can dramatically change sort of the statistics that we see in terms of self-harm and suicide and substance use, which are all higher in the LGBTQ community.
And, you know, you have touched that point that is extremely important, how the support groups are essential, but also it is so important to have the support from the family. And when that is not there, how important it is to have a place to go where you feel welcome. And I would like you to address this situation that we have right now with Pride Month and Pride festivities being move now online, but some of them, I know they are not online only. I recently received a newsletter from Out Boulder with tons of activities. So if you can talk about those, because I'm pretty sure the people that are listening to us would like to know where to meet, where to get together with people that they feel connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, because of COVID and everything going on, all the prides that I know of for June are virtual, including Out Boulder County's Longmont Pride. So we do have a whole week of virtual events leading up to Longmont Pride, which is that Saturday, the 27th of June. But we are doing a motorcade, so a car parade of sorts in Longmont. So that is one in-person thing that people can be a part of. And you can go to outbouldercounty.org or outboulder.org and go to Longmont Pride, our page, and then you can RSVP to be a part of that motorcade. And that is sort of one of the ways that we are trying to still hold on to that, hold on to our Longmont Pride and all the benefits of being together in community physically. And we're trying to do it in a safe way. So people can stay in their own cars and we can still celebrate in that way.
Yeah, safety first, but fun second. That's what I always say. I had also, as you know, the opportunity to interview Michal Duffy, and he talked about the creative ways to really keep on the connection that Out Boulder has put together. And in the programs that you have been running online, you had a particularity that you shared with me, that is, new people from outside Boulder have joined the groups. Can you address that point?
Yes. Yeah, so we at Out Boulder County, we've worked really, really hard to create new programming that connects folks, that helps address the social isolation and other issues that the LGBTQ community are facing due to everything going on. And so that has been really fun to be a part of. I know with our youth groups, we've done many projects to try to keep folks engaged. So one of them is our queer quarantine youth zine. And so essentially we were wanting our youth to stay engaged and with our community and sort of have a creative outlet. And so any type of art that they were creating during quarantine, we asked them to submit to our zine, which we will be publishing online, just to show like what our youth have been up to and how they're emotionally and creatively dealing with quarantine. So that was one of our programming that we created for that. And we also have our Spotify playlists. So each one of our youth groups created their own Spotify playlist. And we add songs to it every week. And so it's just songs that they've been listening to during quarantine. And again, trying to keep them engaged when they're not in group. And then to touch on what you said about having folks from outside of Boulder County joining our groups. So I've seen quite a few new youth coming to our virtual groups, and I think that is partially because it's a little bit more accessible than having to drive to our Boulder office or in Longmont to meet in person. So we've had folks from Fort Collins, we've had folks from Denver. We have been trying to get connected. We've had some emails from Grand Junction. And so really just, and I did have a youth from Texas who joined our youth group, a few weeks ago. And so it's really exciting, that we can have a broader reach, and that maybe youth who wouldn't have been able to come into our in-person groups for a variety of reasons can now access them because they are online.
Yes, it's different. And we heard from Shannon Axe. She, you know, now lives in California. She's there, but she used to live here in Boulder. She's a Boulderite. I like to say that word. And so is Gray. And I would like, you know, from that story that she shared, I would like to hear from you, Gray. What was the experience that you had in school? If you can talk to us about that a little more. Why? Because I would like you to bring us into your experience too.
Yeah, totally. So Shannon's experience was cool to hear because it was very different from mine and obviously shared some similarities that we in our transitions, but the age was really different and I think the experience itself was different. Mainly in that I lived through, you know, elementary, middle, and all of high school, before transitioning socially or medically. So I had very different experiences in school. And I think that when I look back on elementary and middle school, there's moments where I was definitely bullied and like harassed in middle school, specifically when I went to public school in Boulder. And I didn't think about it as for being trans back then because I didn't know that I was trans. And it was for things like the way I dressed and the way my hair looked. And, because people wanted to see me as a girl and I didn't like dressing like one and didn't do a very good job of, pretending pretending that I liked being one. And so I was bullied for those things. I never saw it as being bullied for being trans until I was older and transitioned and looked back and was like, yeah, that was, you know, those micro little things that I was bullied for were actually about my gender and it wasn't clear to me then. And so I think that was kind of a negative experience that I had in Boulder. And that was at Casey Middle School, which was just a bigger public school. And then I ended up switching to Watershed School, which is a private school and everything changed there. And I was able to feel a little bit more supported and I had some freedom to dress the way I wanted to. And then when I got to New Vista is when I really felt, not only freedom, but support and encouragement to dress and behave and, you know, do what I wanted to do in terms of my gender and sexuality and whatever it is that I was kind of feeling. And so that was the last stepping, and New Vista was the final stepping stone, which allowed me to jump from there, in like right after I graduated high school is when I socially transitioned, and then medically in my first year of college. So I do give a lot of credit to New Vista for providing that kind of resource. And even though I was older, 18 when I transitioned, it was still formative to have grown up in Boulder and had the lack of support at a younger age, and then the additional support in my teenage years.
Thank you for sharing so deeply, and also for putting out there that you know that we need the family, but we also need the institutions, and we need all these to be able to really find ourselves. And it is and you are so young, and you are already sharing with so much deep reflection. I would like you to address briefly about being, from a Latino family, and how that is so also complex. If you can address that, why? Because at this moment in time, when we are having to face what's happening with the Supreme Court, so there's, one rule that is supporting the trans and LGBTQ people in the sense of having the rights for work, but at the same time, this administration has close the door for getting health care in the way it's respectful.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely a huge intersection in the Latino, being part of the Latino community in my family, and being trans, and that's actually the reason my mom and I made that video we did, is because we felt like there was kind of a lack of understanding and discussion in the community regarding where we meet in Latino and trans people, where we meet in the middle, and where trans youth who are being raised in Latino households have a different experience than white people or other people of other races, because Latino culture is something that's very different. And my mom and I talk a lot about machismo and how there's a lot of that in Latino culture, and there's a lot of things are gendered. And even like having gender neutral, speaking with gender neutral terms in Spanish is more difficult than in English, and it requires almost like a whole new integrating of words. And so I think there's a lot to be said about that, and I think that it's really important to address the differences and to help Latino youth who might have less support at home, because of a lack of understanding culturally, and because of a language barrier and a lot of things that get in the way of it being easy to transition as a Latino person. The way my mom was raised in Bolivia, and she talks about, being raised very Catholic and being raised very, conservatively. And I think that's a common story that you hear. And I think that it's a different kind of thing to transition as a Latino person than it is, as a white person in Boulder, and I think that it's a conversation that needs to be addressed and continued.
Yes.
To have, and in terms of the Supreme Court, I think that it's obviously a wonderful ruling that we're now granted the freedom from discrimination in the workplace. And in terms of the healthcare, yeah, that's an awful blow, and I am hopeful that in state to state cases they will continue to have the healthcare protections that we have now, but. Yeah, it's a continuous battle, obviously.
It's a continuous battle. And we heard from Lau Malaver that she, addressed these two movements. I found myself. I always find myself making the mistake. Lau Malaver, Lau Malaver, put together not only the history when I was able to interview her, but also the movement, the two movements together, the Black Lives Matter movement at this point that is going so strong and asking for the support and the allies. And that is also what I heard from the youth group, the bringing together of this consciousness. Jen, I would like you to address that and allow you to speak about, also what you heard from the piece, the historic side of Boulder County when it relates to LGBTQ issues.
I think you know, conversations that we've been having all month in our youth group, is really this recentering and remembering of, the roots of Stonewall and the gay rights movement, that it was Black and brown trans folks on the front lines, who were rallying against police brutality of our communities, especially the trans communities of color. And so with Black Lives Matter, at the forefront, this month, and with the protests and demonstrations and, policy reforms, I think it is, you know, a really good reminder of our roots. And I love what Lau said about, remembering who are we centering and who are we celebrating in Pride. And just that Pride was, and still is, centered around, folks who have marginalized intersecting identities, and that we need to remember that in all of our movements moving forward. I think, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. You did. Jenna, as we finish up in the last couple of minutes that we have, please let listeners know what resources are available for LGBTQ youth in the community.
Yeah, so we have three weekly virtual youth groups, our middle school group, our high school group, and our Korean trans group that we run with OASIS. And so those are free and drop-in. You can attend as many groups as you like. And hopefully in the next few months, we can look at starting to do things in person again. That's my hope. Obviously, we would only do it safely. So we have that as a resource. I did want to briefly touch on some new programming that Outboulder has. So our very first QDPOC youth virtual meetup will be happening on June 20th. Mm-hmm. So this Saturday, it's free, and we specifically placed it between the holiday of Juneteenth, and that Sunday, which is Denver Pride. And so focusing on the queer and trans people of color, youth in our communities, and, creating space for them to connect, and really centering, Black, queer and trans voices through that meetup, perfect. And learning a little bit about the history, yes, with Marsha P. Johnson.
Jenna Howerton with Out Boulder. Thank you so much. We have to say bye. This goes so fast. Gray Bachelieri, thank you so much for joining us. And once again, you are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And you just listened to the Last Trends podcast, a collaboration between the Community Foundation of Boulder County and KGNU. Thank you. Thank you for joining us to this wonderful show today.
Thanks for having me, Arsana.
Thank you so much.